Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new season of the Forza Italian Football Podcast. I believe it's our 10th season. It's our 12th season. It's not my 12th season. I'm on about 3, 4, 5, 6. Who knows? I'm your host, Connor Clancy. I'm joined, as ever, by Kev Pogrzalski. Kev, hello. Good evening. Remember to speak loudly. How are you?
Good evening. I'm good. Yeah, looking forward to getting back into it. I largely go into hibernation during pre-season and don't know what's going on by the first week or when the first week is, as you discovered only a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, good prep for the season to come, but I have to be honest with you, I make an active attempt to avoid anything pre-season as well. So other than transfers and all of that, I don't know what's been happening on pitches, to be perfectly honest with you. We are also joined by someone who's probably a little bit better prepared than we are, Kev. It's Vito Doria. Vito, you've got a new look. Hello. Welcome back for the new season.
Hello, Connor. Well, I do have a new look, but I don't think it's a look that I'd be keeping for too much longer. I mean, I generally don't like growing my facial hair too long because it does feel itchy for me. But at the moment, I've got a bit of a moustache going, but I don't think it's a long-term thing for me.
I am so used to seeing Vito fresh-faced, it has thrown me a little. Luckily, we're not playing the game. Otherwise, I'd blame it. I'd call it a tactic for his game.
It was the first thing you said to the poor guy when he came on the call. Like, not a hello, just straight in for the facial hair.
Wow, he's such a fresh-faced looking guy. I thought he'd been growing it since the previous pod we had in May. But yeah, I don't know. I like familiarity, obviously. I'm a traditionalist. I want fresh-faced Vito.
Fair enough. Look, guys, we might as well ask, how's your summer been so far, Kev? Have you been enjoying it? I know you're in the UK, so you've not exactly been able to do all that much outside of the UK, but I mean, the virus doesn't exist anymore, so congratulations on Freedom Day. How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm dying to get away. Knee issues, so I've been on crutches for 5 weeks, maybe looking at an op on my knee because I was stupid and played too much football when I was younger. But I was rather happy that Italy won the Euros, so that sort of picked up the summer for me.
Oh, you and me both, Kev. You and me both. I'll tell you, the night that Italy won the Euros, I celebrated twice. I celebrated the fact that Italy won the Euros, and then I celebrated as an Irishman that England didn't win the Euros, and it was a glorious, glorious evening. But what a summer. What a summer it's been for Italian sport in general, Vito. Obviously, the fastest man in the world, over 100 meters, is Italian. The man who can jump higher than anyone else is now Italian. There were a load of Italian goals at the Olympics. And of course, Italy won the European Championship. So it's a very, very happy time.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, unfortunately, I'm not in Italy at the moment, but as someone of Italian ancestry on my father's side, yeah, it's just great to see, you know, as I would say, the fatherland doing so well, la patria. And yeah, just between the Olympics, Euro 2020, it's a great year for Italian sport. And then to go a bit off topic, Måneskin winning Eurovision 2021. So, you know, Italy's flying high, and it's great to see, especially, you know, in sport, there've been some dry years, to be honest. And then over the last decade or two, with the incredible changes in Italian prime ministers, you have the global financial crisis and Eurozone crisis and many other political situations, things like that. So I think for sport, it's great, and hopefully culturally and maybe politically. Politically is probably a stretch, but hopefully this gives some sort of rejuvenation of the Italian nation and its identity, which would be great to see. And even for us from the other side of the world, you know, it's great to see. We do live in our respective countries, but to think that our parents and grandparents came from such an incredible country, that's... you know, that makes us feel proud of our roots and our culture. So
that's been amazing to be here.
Long may it continue.
Yeah, it has been a wonderful experience to be here for it all this summer, and just every day speaking to people and people saying, "Oh, just see what we won today at the Olympics." And yeah, obviously the Euros speak for themselves. It was quite nice though that you mentioned Eurovision, because of course Italy became the first country ever to win the Eurovision and the European Championship in the same summer. And then they went and won the 100 meter men's race as well. So that's a record that's going to last for a long, long time. Kev, you're smiling.
Yeah, just because that's a thing. Yeah. there's Twitter accounts and things that just earn their living from making random connections between two events happening for the first time ever, you know, that you'll never see again. You know, next it will be somebody won the bobsleighing in the same year at which they won the Gold Cup or reached the Gold Cup semi-final.
What I would say is that the Eurovision is a thing here, whereas back home in Ireland, I'm assuming it's a little bit more like in the UK, where, I mean, we sent a turkey puppet to the Eurovision 1 year because that's how highly we rate it. But it is actually quite a big deal in Italy, and they did celebrate winning that. So it is an achievement for them.
Yeah, I thought Ireland won the Eurovision. I thought they took it more seriously than the UK, actually. But
I think we have won it more than once. I think Ireland might have won it three times. But in recent years, literally sent a puppet of a turkey to perform at the Eurovision 1 year. So that's good.
I haven't watched it since 1993. When on my birthday, I thought I was going for like a sleepover at a friend's house, and his mother made me sit there and score each entrant. And then I sort of get flashbacks from that. So I've never watched it since.
Do you know what happened to me in 1993?
You were born?
I was born December 1993. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, guys, let's talk about the Serie A season, the 2021-2022. It's really, really difficult to say that, just like it was last season. Season is about to start. And to say it's been a chaotic summer wouldn't do this summer justice. I know a lot of things are being overshadowed now because Leo Messi is unable to play for the club that he wants to play for next season. But Serie A has been a little bit mad as well, and it started about 2 days after last season ended, which we did talk about at the time with Antonio Conte leaving. But everyone's following him out of Inter as well, it seems. So Vito, the champions are in a right mess, and by the time the season actually starts at the weekend, who knows who's going to be left? Calhanoglu rocked up and everyone else ran away. You've got to feel for Calhanoglu, but Inter's title defense, it's not looking good before the season even starts, is it?
Oh, certainly not. I mean, when you lose key players like they have, and those who have been fundamental to the title victory, that's very bad, especially for the fans, because it means that the club's not going to be continuing the project. So it might be a sign that they're heading back down to mediocrity. It's bad for the new coach, Simone Inzaghi, who's been brought in from Lazio. It's like he's been promised these things, or he'd think that he'd have a strong team to work with, certainly one than what he had at Lazio, but that might not be the case now, because he'll have to do more work to build the team to play his way. And I just think, in particular, just going back to the long-term goals, you know, it's like the back-to-square-one, effectively. This Scudetto was pretty much a quick fix or just an immediate thing, but it's, as they say, it's a Pyrrhic victory. Just this Serie A triumph has come at a huge cost, and now the Suning group or the Zhang family, they've got to save face, basically.
Yeah, you've obviously got the way in which the somewhat the pandemic's affected the funding that's come in. You know, they've been kind of forced, if you like, to stop pumping money into overseas football clubs and even their own league. But there was something about the Conte project, if you like. When he came in, I tipped into for the title, didn't quite get it that first season. But it always felt as though they were going to do whatever it took to get a title with Conte, and then they would go back into, you know, they would fall back into mediocrity. So I'm kind of not surprised by that. But then immediately after the title triumph last year, you had them going to the players and asking them to sort of forego 2 months' wages. Mm. You thought, oh, you know, that's not a good sign. But then they were, not sure if honest is the right word, but they were fairly forward in saying we need to sell off a major asset just to kind of balance the books so we can maintain a competitive squad. Again, they might not have been the words they put it, but, you know, that's what they said. Inzaghi's come in, and you think, okay, so he has, you know, he's got a better sight than what's actually been maybe portrayed in the media. So he's taken that on, because otherwise, why would he leave? You know, Lazio, I don't think they were going to challenge this year under him necessarily, but, you know, he was doing some really good things there. And if I was an Inter fan now, with Lukaku heading out the door and potentially others following, even if, you know, not big name players, and it being a bit of a fire sale, I'd feel a little bit like the wall's been pulled over my eyes, because it almost feels like everything that they were saying, you thought, yeah, one major player will be competitive this year. Okay, that's fine. I think if you're keeping your big ticket item, you know, your Lukaku, I think everybody would have thought, okay, we've got a fighting chance. It feels like they've left it until very close to the start of the season to suddenly go, okay, we've had these, you know, there's been talks in the backgrounds and moves for players to leave the club have been going on. And if we leave it as late as possible, we can have as minimal uproar as possible, because I know there was a lot of protests at Parma Inter in pre-season a couple of days ago. Mm. And I don't know, it feels a little bit too managed, and that would really worry me as an Inter fan. But not surprise me as somebody that thought that the Conte project was going to come in, probably win them a, you know, win them even the UEFA Europa League, sorry, for younger viewers, you know, last season, and then a title this. But disappointed if you're an Inter fan, surprised not that this is what's come about after the money put in to give Conte the title that he and the fans craved. You know,
it's
again,
Lukaku though, isn't it? It's letting Lukaku go. I mean, yeah, I'm sure nobody would have cared about what Ashraf, Lautaro, even Skriniar leaving, right? But Lukaku leaving.
One person wouldn't it be Lukaku? And I think if you're Lukaku in this scenario, okay, you don't want to be the first, but you also don't want to be the last. You don't want to see 5 or 6 first teamers, should we call them, disappear around you, and then out of some sense of loyalty or just how well he fits in it, you know, Italy, you know, tears the league apart, has done for 2 seasons. But yeah, no, I fully appreciate why he's getting out as soon as the first opportunity comes his way.
Well, he doesn't even want to leave, though. That's the thing. He's been told you're off. They accepted the bid, and I feel bad for him as well. I know it's strange saying you feel bad for someone where he's getting a pay rise and he's gonna still do the job that he does just somewhere else, but it's hard not to, because he's always struggled in other places to feel that love, you know. And in Milan he was a god, you know. He there was that thing, him and Ibra went head to head last season. Lukaku won every single time. And yeah, I do feel quite bad for him. It's not a nice position to be in, but there you go. Vito, am I mad to think that Inter have a serious risk of not finishing in the Champions League places this season? Because I don't see it happening.
I don't think you're mad at all. I think it's a scary possibility, especially if you're an Interista. The fact that they're losing such key players and that they've got to rebuild with Inzaghi, it's just put a lot of pressure on Inzaghi to work with what's left. And they're losing players that have been key components under Antonio Conte. So, you know, you've got someone like Edin Dzeko coming in, and it's just going to be a mammoth task to it. Well, I think the Scudetto will be out of reach for sure. But yeah, even fourth place, just the way the other teams have rebuilt as well and who they've hired as coaches, I think that the Nerazzurri, I think if they can somehow get a Champions League spot, it would be incredible.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because you look at the top 10 and only Milan and Atalanta from the top 10 last season still have the same coaches in charge. Everyone else has changed. Obviously, at Juventus, Massimiliano Allegri is back, Kevin. In a season like last, I still would have backed Inter to win the title. But given what else has happened this summer, if Allegri hadn't gone back to Juve, I'd probably say Atalanta are going to win the title this season. But Allegri's there. So Juventus are just going to win the Scudetto again and start another era of dominance, aren't they?
It does feel like Allegri's return will almost be the missing piece in the puzzle for them with Inter's sort of troubles this summer. But I'm not, you know, I look at that sometimes, and you know, everybody thinks, oh well, you know, this is set up now for Juve to become dominant again, and I don't know. There's something niggling inside me that thinks that there were too many problems within the kind of squad there. That as much as Allegri did a couple of wonderful sort of rebuilding jobs or sort of half rebuild jobs during his first time at Juve, I think we'll still see some of the cracks next year. And while they'll be there or thereabouts towards the end of the season, I don't know. I tell you what, we'll get on to our predictions later, but I am really struggling with who's going to...
Yeah.
There's certainly nobody's going to pull away this season, but I don't know.
But this is it, right? I think you're right that there will be a lot of cracks at Juve, but there's going to be a lot of cracks everywhere. Last season, Inter got 91 points. 80 would have been enough to win the league because Milan finished second on 79. I wouldn't be surprised this year if the title winner finished with 75 points. If there's a lot of teams from first to sixth between 60 and 75 or something like that. But I don't see any team racking up more than 85 points this season because nobody's good enough. Nobody is good enough. Milan lost two of their best players. Inter obviously have fallen apart. Atalanta, I think, will do what they did last season. They'll start a little bit shakily with the changes at the back that Romero's gone, but then they'll probably come good and be okay. Mourinho at Roma, Sarri at Lazio, who knows what's going to happen there? I think it's really, really impossible to predict the title race next season.
I just think Juve have not, they've not strengthened, you know, obviously they've been really absent, haven't they, in the transfer market so far, still trying to get things done. And that midfield needs sorting out. It was so just laboursome. Go on, throw in your hands at me.
Talk about something else, will you? I don't want to talk about Juve's midfield at the moment. Obviously, they've lost Demiral at the back, and I think he's going to do a great job for Atalanta. We'll talk about Atalanta. They finished third last season. A few changes, expectedly. There, they always change things. Gasperini, importantly, is still there. They've upgraded on Pierluigi Gollini by bringing in Juan Musso, arguably the best goalkeeper in Serie A now that Donnarumma has gone. And Vito, with that upgrade, with the changes at the back, what do you expect from Ladea this season? More of the same? Can they go a step further or will they fall away?
This is where I think Atalanta can take the step up. I think because of what we've just mentioned, that everybody's got weak points, even the top 7 or 8. I think if there's going to be a year that Atalanta can win their first ever Serie A title, this might be the year. Juan Musso is a fantastic addition in goal. I think aside from Rodrigo De Paul, who's left for Atletico Madrid, he was one of the main reasons Udinese have been staying up in Serie A in the last few years. He's a superb goalkeeper. And for him to go to Atalanta, that's a massive bonus. Mary Demiral, he looked good at Sassuolo for about 6 months. And then I was a bit surprised that Juve snapped him up because he was so young and that I didn't expect him to play a lot. He had his moments, and if memory serves me correctly, he had a knee injury himself, so that hurt. And look, he didn't perform that well for Turkey at the Euros, but the whole team in general was poor, so I don't think he can be singled out. So coming to Atalanta, he's still got the raw talent. He's still a good defender in his own right, but I think under Gasperini at Atalanta, I think this is a chance for the Turkish international to really go up a level. And if he can stay fit and remain consistent, I think he can be an excellent defender, just like Romero was last season. So, yeah, I think those two additions are big. Joachim Mailer, I wasn't too impressed with him last season, but he played very well for Denmark at the Euros. For me, he was probably the best right back at the tournament. So, you know, to have Hatzebue and Mailer as right wing back options, and Gosens on the left, they'll definitely be a top team to watch, Atalanta. But yeah, assuming those players can stay fit, they get the balance right between local competitions and Europe, I think, Atalanta are in for another great season. And as I said earlier, if there's a chance for silverware, especially the Scudetto, this might be the year.
There you go. It's on. It wasn't me that said it. It's officially on the cards. Kev, I'm not asking you because I'm afraid of your negativity. We'll go to Milan next. Calhanoglu and Donnarumma are gone. Pioli's still there. Giroud's there, playing up front with Ibra. Giroud's obviously taken the cursed number 9 shirt, so we know that Giroud's going to probably suffer a serious injury in September and end the season with 3 games and 1 goal. But what do we think about Milan's chances next season? Pioli tends to do good jobs for a bit and then not so good jobs. Is this the season without 2 of his best players from last season that things start to go wrong at Milan, or can they win the Scudetto? That's not a real question, don't worry.
To who?
It's for you.
Oh,
I know how much you love talking about your friend Teo.
No, I think I think Milan a bit like Atalanta. I mean, when I'm looking at contenders at the top end of the league, I think consistency will be quite key, regardless of maybe Pioli's drop off towards the latter parts of his tenure. If I have any concerns, it would be whether Ibra gets his nose put out of joint if Giroud has a excellent start. And I just wonder the goalkeeper. He's had one good season at Lille. I was hoping somebody else was going to pronounce his name before I got a chance to. And whether, you know, because it's, although he's obviously won the French title, it's a pretty big step up to the kind of pressure cooker that is Italian football and Milanese football.
It is a big step. You threw that over to me while I was looking for the correct pronunciation of his name. I'm just going to go with the Italian version, which will be Mike Maignan for now. We'll learn it as the season goes on. I'll ask Patrick Kendrick, obviously, top Serie A commentator, fluent French speaker, so he'll point us in the right direction. Milan are like Atalanta. Are you all right?
Only in the fact that they've retained their coaches. So they're going into the season with a level of consistency that the others won't. That's all. Don't get overexcited.
Yeah, but they lost two of their best players.
Donnarumma and Calhanoglu. Who's the other one I'm missing? If it's
Donnarumma and Calhanoglu.
Oh, okay. Well, Donnarumma was all. I wondered who the second one was for a moment.
All right, fair enough. But no, you'd argue that last season Milan's best players were the spine of the team plus Teo, no? It was Zlatan, Calhanoglu, Kessié.
Well, yeah, Kjær, I would have kind of Kjær and Kessié would have been the ones I would have worried about losing. Mm. Calhanoglu, although with Giroud, he's quite impressive in the air. His set pieces from Calhanoglu were always quite useful. I'm sure he racked up double figures in assists, maybe.
All joking aside, Vito, I reckon Giroud is a lovely fit for Serie A. And I think we'll probably lose count of the number of goals he scores from making near post runs next season.
I think he can do well with Ibra depending on the formation, but considering that Ibrahimovic was effectively out injured for half of the season, he might do well just by himself up front. So depending on the formation Pioli uses, especially if he still sticks with 4-2-3-1, I think Giroud, as long as he stays fit, I think he can be an excellent addition for the Rossoneri, and he'll provide them with even more experience too.
He's going to link up very nicely with Kev, your friend Teo Hernandez as well, right? Because Teo loves bombing down the wing and, I don't know, using the striker as a wall to play a 1-2 with and then rifle a shot into the top corner. But more seriously, I think it's another player that Rafa Leao will work quite well with, and you'd expect him to come on another bit again this season, Kev.
Yeah, I think he was a little unfortunate last year that he was often forced to play the role of Ibra replacement through the middle at times. And because as much as he's a unique physical specimen, Mr. Zlatan, he did miss quite a few games for Milan last year. And I think with Giroud, even at the age of 34, they've got the sort of perfect kind of double actor, you know, even play together sometimes, but certainly to give them that focal point that Leao can play off. And I don't know what he'd be approaching his mid to late 20s now. I think probably ideal time for him to really, really kick on and make a significant contribution to any challenge they make in Europe and domestically.
Yeah, well, he's only 22, so he will be... No, right, so he'll be 22 for the entirety of the season, born in June. So he's still coming along. Give him time. Don't be so impatient. Don't be so impatient. You didn't peak until you were about 39 anyway, so like, leave him alone. Ewan Burns, it doesn't feel like that long since we last spoke, but we're back again to preview the 2021-2022 Serie A Femminile season. How was your summer, first of all? All okay?
Yeah, well, it's been another weird COVID-affected summer, isn't it? So it almost doesn't feel like it had a start point or an end point. It's just, especially with the Euros and the Olympics and everything, there's not been that much of a discernible difference between the season and not the season.
No, you're right. It's better than last, though. Last year was a joke, considering how close everything was together. So yeah. I've quite enjoyed the couple of weeks off, but... We're getting there. Juventus obviously coming into this season trying to win a fifth straight Scudetto in Serie A Femminile, but they'll probably have a bit more competition than they have in recent years. Milan obviously finished second last season, have signed really well. Sassuolo were third. They've also signed really well this season. So we'll start with Milan. I guess the big signing they've made is probably Lindsay Thomas from Roma, and they look like they're ready to mount a serious title challenge this season.
Yeah, it semi-surprised me, that signing, in the sense that obviously Roma had such a strong finish of the season by winning the Coppa Italia and then sold a very important forward. Lindsay Thomas always stuck out for them whenever you'd watch them. It was often her and Sertorini were the two that you think they're the bright sparks in the team. I'm pretty sure Lindsay Thomas scored probably the most important goal in that semi-final against Juve as well. I think it was the one that put them initially ahead and put them in that position of strength that they never really expected to find themselves in. They renewed Giacinti's contract as well, which is very big, because as they've done with Lindsay Thomas, it's quite common for the best player from one team to get nabbed by the next team up or the next one or two teams up. So that's a big deal to keep hold of her as well. So they'll be really hoping to just finally beat Juventus head to head, because that last season, that's almost all it would have taken.
Yeah, well, that was the difference, wasn't it? Milan only lost to Juve until the title was decided, and then they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. But Juventus were imperious last season. Onto Roma. They've obviously lost Lindsay Thomas. They also lost Agnese Bonfantini to Juventus. There's a little bit of unrest there now around the club, with a lot of the fans being very, very unhappy that she was allowed to just have her contract expire and go to Juventus for nothing. We obviously spoke to Maria Banusic last season. She's left as well, but there was a lot of talk around Roma about them wanting to win, that they won the Coppa Italia last season. There was the hope that they would push on in Serie A this season. But with those departures, do you see them having taken a step back this summer?
Yeah, it's difficult to view it in any other way, really, which is quite sad that they do seem to have won that trophy and almost backed off, essentially. And teams like Juventus and Milan are not going to sit back and watch that happen. They're going to see you back off and they're going to nab two of your best players. Like every other club, because it's very common in women's football, that there's been a lot of transfer movement and they have signed players. Again, for them, similar to Milan, the biggest thing is that Cesarini renewal. She's going to be by far the most important player there. And, you know, she had English interest from an English side, apparently, which don't seem to have been named, but it's a sort of different level of professionalism in England. So for her to turn that down, she supposedly turned down Fiorentina, Juve and Valerenga as well, in order to stay at Roma. So they're probably clinging on to that a bit, that there is some sort of project there that Sertorini wants to be a part of. We heard Banusic say it last year that, you know, there is a real project there for whatever reason she's decided to move on. But that's definitely going to be where their focus is all season, I think.
Yeah, well, Sertorini is obviously one of the best players in Serie A at the moment. Another one is Andressa Alves. She's still there as well, thankfully. She was probably the standout player in the cup final too. And if they can keep all to her, she was obviously at the Olympics with Brazil this summer. Then who knows? Who knows what they could do? Sassuolo. They've caught my eye with the signings of Sofia Cantore. Firstly from, well, it was Florentia, wasn't it? Now it's not, but we'll get to that. And then Lana Cleland as well from Fiorentina. So Sassuolo, again, strengthening, having achieved their best ever finish last season. And they will be one of the teams who are hoping to push on again this year.
Yeah, they might not quite fully have their eye on the title, but they narrowly missed out on the Champions League. Obviously, it's the top two places that get it. So that was Milan and Juve last season. So they're going to be really hoping to get there. They've, like you say, they've strengthened, and they're going to want that sort of that financial input to be validated by getting into the Champions League, and then you're into a different world almost, as we all know.
Yeah.
So that'll be really important for them. But Sofia Cantore is definitely a big signing. She got double figures last season, and that's a big thing to bring into the club when you're in their position.
After that, what else is there to look out for? Because obviously there was a big bunch in mid-table last season. Obviously, Sampdoria are playing their first ever season in Serie A Femminile. They bought the rights to Florentia. Again, more controversy in Italian women's football. Pomigliano got promoted, as did Lazio. So there's going to be a Rome derby next season, which is nice. Fiorentina, Louise Quinn, our friend, has left. And Cleland has left. So
all of our friends have left, haven't
they? Yeah, they're all leaving, aren't they? We need to make some new friends this season. But Fiorentina are one of those clubs that will probably fancy themselves to be in the top half of the table, and then at the end of the season, who knows what they can push on and achieve? Maybe an outside chance at Europe.
Yeah, so they've lost their coach as well. There's been a huge amount of coach moving and player moving. So he's gone to Sampdoria, actually. And he's the one who delivered all of their various triumphs when, just as sort of women's Italian football started to pick up around sort of 2016. And the replacement is Patrizia Panicio from, she was managing the Italy men's under 15s. She's very interesting. She was the first female coach to manage a male Azzurri team. So she's sort of viewed as quite a big deal. Not necessarily for what she does with football, but her sort of off the pitch prominence, as it were. So that could be a very big thing for them. But it's, you know, a new coach. It's very hard to see whether they will improve, whether they'll stagnate, whether it'll take some time, if there'll be a little drop off. But that's the way it seems to be with that middle pack, is that some of them could shoot up really quickly, some of them could shoot down very quickly. It's going to be quite random, because there's been a lot of managerial changes.
Yeah, and one of those teams who might well fancy themselves to shoot up quite suddenly are Inter. Obviously, they've stolen Rita Guarino, the ex-Juve coach who guided Juve to those four straight Scudetti. Juve have replaced her with Joe Montemurro, the ex-Arsenal coach. It's hard to keep track of all of this, but you would expect that Inter will want to kick on again this season, but they'll probably fall way short of being anywhere near the title. And as depressing as it is, the title is still very much Juve's to lose.
Yeah, in terms of Inter, the gap between Juve last year and them last year was so vast. Like on the final day of the season, Juve beat them 5-0 when they didn't need to. Mm. But like you say, you know, they've signed a four-time title-winning coach, and they, well, like we say, a lot of teams have signed a lot of players. Inter seem to have signed a lot of players. Whether it is actually more than anyone else, I'm not entirely sure, but it certainly feels like it. They seem to be announcing players left, right and centre, so they're clearly on a big push. So you think that push is for a European spot as an outside bet, not necessarily for the title, but you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, you could just sit on Inter's Twitter page and just click refresh, and every 5 minutes there will be a new signing there. You can almost guarantee it.
A new welcome every time.
yeah, exactly. Anyway, that'll do it. Is there anything else that people should watch out for in Serie A Femminile this season?
Well, in terms of representatives in the Champions League, it's obviously Juve and Milan. I wouldn't hold huge amounts of hope out in terms of winning it, because I did spot that Juve got beaten 6-0 by Barcelona in a friendly very recently, who obviously won it last year, which they are a stratospheric level above everyone else, should be said. But that doesn't seem like a tournament that's going to be won by an Italian team. So don't look out for that.
Absolutely not. No, maybe avoid it. It is worth noting that Barcelona also beat Chelsea 4-0 in the Champions League final last year. Yeah. Chelsea are bloody good too. So it's going to be interesting. I'm quite excited actually about following the league from in Italy this year, and if any of our listeners are as well, because there will be a game every weekend broadcast on free-to-air television on LA7, which is very good news. So, and the way the games are timed as well, they don't tend to overlap with the men's Serie A, so that is something to definitely keep an eye on for the season to come. Champions League games as well will be broadcast free on YouTube, so there's plenty to keep us.
Match day 11 seems to be the one to keep your eye on. Match day 11, which actually becomes the final day. You've got a Rome derby, you've got Inter Sassuolo and Juve Milan all on one day.
Yeah, it's
or one weekend,
absolutely
rather.
Enormous. Like it's a potential title decider with Milan and Juve going head to head. And then who knows what Sassuolo could be up to by then as well.
If last season maybe Inter would have gone mad, and you can have four teams fighting out on the final day.
Or else they'll have run out of money and just gotten rid of all of their players. Yeah, very, very wishful thinking. Anyway, Ewan, thank you very much. We'll be sure to keep in touch throughout the season for regular updates week by week. So enjoy what's left of your summer, and I'll chat to you again soon. Golazo! Down in the capital, guys, things are very interesting. Because as we discussed back when it happened, I believe in April, Jose Mourinho is in at Roma. And
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I don't know if you guys have seen what Roma have been getting up to in pre-season. They're basically just fighting everybody. So first against Porto, Pepe put in a robust challenge. You know, I didn't actually think it was as bad as people made it out to be. It was just because it was Pepe. People seemed to have a problem with it. And then Mkhitaryan responded by trying to kick him in the head, which I thought was actually quite bad. That descended into a brawl. And then Roma played Betis more recently. And at 2-2, Betis scored a third goal to go 3-2 ahead. And Mourinho was so incensed, thinking that it was offside or a handball or something. He ran onto the pitch to confront the referee, got sent off. Within a minute of him getting sent off, Roma went down to 10 men. Within 10 minutes of that, they went down to 9 men. And then within 10 minutes of that, they went down to 8 men and they lost 5-2. So, Kev, are you as excited as I am for Mourinho at Roma now, finally?
I think he will bring something. Well, he'll bring his own sort of uniqueness, style, back to Serie A. Because I don't think he knows he's not got a chance of competing for a title at Roma. But
does he
maybe,
not?
No,
not this season?
No, not this season. No, I really don't think so. I think I fully expect him to go all in on the Europa Conference, because I think he would see that as an ideal opportunity of getting them a trophy and getting, you know, they don't win many, so it would still be much sought after on the red side of the capital. But the types of, shall we call it, combative displays that they're putting in,
if you want,
I wouldn't be surprised if that's entirely engineered by him, because he will love going to some of the more established Scudetto challenges this season and really grinding out wins. And then if he can do a little bit like Roma were doing under Fonseca last year, they were blowing away the weaker sides. He will love to go and get, let's say he gets 10 out of 12 draws against his other sort of top six or seven rivals. He would love that and then blow everybody else away. And it might be enough for them to get very, very close to Champions League football, but I don't see them getting a title.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like I was saying, I don't think it's going to take all that much to actually win the Scudetto this season. And for that reason, I'm not ruling anyone who finished in the top six last season out, or top seven, wherever Roma finished in the end. It was seventh, I think, wasn't it? I really do think they've got a chance. Vito, are you leaning towards my side of this or Kev's cynical side of this?
Ooh, look, I'll be honest. If on paper, I don't have them in my top four as yet,
no,
but...
don't do that.
But I think because it's just so evenly matched, they, you know, on grass, they can still find a way to get into the Champions League. And, well, with the Scudetto, it's a big challenge this season. But, yeah, for the reasons Kev mentioned in regards to getting results against the bigger teams, if they can get those draws or even victories, I think that's where they're going to make a big difference. If they can keep doing what they did against the so-called provincial sides and then actually put up a contest against the bigger boys, that might be the big difference. Scudetto, look, I would still tip the likes of Juve or even Atalanta for the title. But Roma, I think if Mourinho, you know, he sticks to his strengths, you know, making sure the team's strong in the defensive phase, off the ball, they're hard to break down. And with this siege mentality, if that, you know, unites the players and they fight for one another, that's where they can probably do more than what most people are predicting.
I'm very, very excited about what's going to happen in the capital this season, particularly when it comes to the derby, because it's Maurizio Sarri's Lazio now, which is still quite strange to say. But I think that is quite a beautiful fit as well in terms of the players he has available in that Lazio squad. I think it's going to be a gorgeous derby when those two face off. And I really, really hope we can have like a good amount of fans in for that, because that will just be a spectacle. Vito, on Sarri, whose football, I think it's fair to say, is a little bit more up your street than Mourinho's would be, how are you expecting him to fare with the Biancocelesti?
I think on paper, I still think they're more or less a Europa League squad. But if they can buy into his ideas and they're able to implement his philosophy quick enough, again, I think they can be in the mix for a Champions League spot too. And they've already got some outstanding creative talents already. I mean, having players like Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto up front, I mean, in midfield, I think they would suit Sarismo or Saribo ideally. And although Immobile has problems fitting into a 4-3-3 formation, I still think if he can adapt and Sarri guides him in the right way, he might still be able to produce some pretty high numbers.
Kev?
Yeah, I agree very much with Vito there. That it will depend on how quickly they can acclimatise to Sarri's football. And yeah, with what he kind of got out of Higuain as a sort of a focal point of attack, I think he can entirely get that out of Immobile. You know, he's his confidence is going to be sky high anyway after his last few seasons in Serie A and coming back from the Euros, maybe even with a little bit to prove, because he still got criticism despite walking away with a winner's medal. And yeah, it'll be interesting how Lazio do, particularly if you compare that to Inter with their former coach that could have walked into an absolute burning building of a club.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Down at the bottom. Well, we don't know down at the bottom, but I mean, the three new boys, the three newcomers, Venezia, Empoli and Salernitana. It's really, really nice to say Venezia and Salernitana coming up to Serie A for, I mean, the first time since we've been doing this anyway. And Empoli, right, fair enough, they're back. And I couldn't care less about them. It's a nightmare of a place to get to, even though it's not necessarily all that far away. I don't plan on going there this season. It's a dump. The stadium, not the place. So I don't care about that. I'll definitely be going to Venice. I might try to go to Salerno as well. So Kev, last season we were talking about places where you could potentially come and meet me. Let's go to Salerno. We'll have a great time there. How are we expecting the three new teams to fare? They're just going to scrap for their lives, aren't they? Like the newcomers always do in Serie A, Vito.
Pretty much so. I think with Empoli, it's either they'll do enough to survive or they're just going to stay in the bottom three. I tip them to survive because they had a pretty good, well, they had a pretty impressive campaign in Serie B. They did lose their coach, but they brought back Andrea Zoli. And I just think with the players they've got, I think they can still be a team that's watchable. They'll put in some impressive performances here and there, and that's probably be about it. More than anything, as long as in goal, you know, that if they're able to not concede too many, that might be the key. I think when they were in Serie A last time, they got Dragovski for the second half of the season and he was fantastic. But before he came on loan, they were absolutely woeful in defence. And I think the goalkeeper was Provedel, who was at Spezia last season. So I think that as long as they do well in goal, they get that protection. I might be wrong on this. I'm thinking it's Brignoli, who was the goalkeeper that scored for Benevento against AC Milan in their first season. So, if he can pull off some quality saves, I think that's going to be the big difference for them between staying up and staying in Serie A or going back down to Serie B. The other teams, Venezia, they're getting a lot of unknowns, a lot of youngsters from countries that aren't, how you would say, the established powers of world football. They're going for a lot of unhidden gems, so might be wise recruiting or might be due to the constraints of their budget. They're really an unknown quantity, but who knows, they might pleasantly surprise. As for Salernitana, Castori is their coach. They got, he was at Carpi when they were in Serie A the first time in 2015-2016, so he's got experience in the division. Got Salernitana up into Serie A like he did with Carpi those years ago, so he's got some experience. But again, I think the quality of the team might be a bit of a struggle. And they're even looking like a bit of a Sampdoria B team because they've got a few players who are from Samp or had played for Samp previously. So, yeah, they'll be intriguing in their own way, but I think the way things are, they look like a team that might head straight down.
Yeah, the teams from the south particularly do tend to struggle. But, Kev, are you as excited as me to have Venezia and Salernitana in particular back in Serie A?
I'd like to know if Venezia are going to play at their own stadium. Has that been confirmed?
As far as I know, they are.
Oh, because that was
always, I don't personally know how, but apparently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that was always somewhere I wanted to visit. And they would have been the first Italian side I think I saw back in 98 when I was visiting Italy for the first time. So it's, you know, it's nice to... nice to see them when I'm a bit older. Not as knowledgeable as Vito. Excellent roundup he gave us of the new sides there, because I just had, yeah, I reckon Empoli will survive. And as soon as Vito said that, I was like, oh, that's good. I'm on the same page as Vito. Don't have to pay too much attention to the new boys because all they'll be doing is scrapping it out. But it's nice to see just some different names, you know, because if we'd had, you know, another couple of sides, yo-yo back up, which is one of the beautiful things about Italian football sometimes is you don't get the size just yo-yo in between top flight and second tier that you do in some of the other major European leagues.
So Venezia are currently doing a bit of work to their stadium to get it up to Serie A levels. They will play their first three games away from the Pen. So Lega Serie A did them a bit of a favour there by doing that. So it'll be interesting. I still don't understand how they're going to do it because I've been there as well. Like, I think it was in 2018. And I didn't want Venezia to get promoted because I just assumed they would have to move stadium. Kev?
Yeah, just while we're on stadiums, because there was the announcement that they were considering 33% of capacities of this year. And that sounds as though this week it's been increased to 50% with what I believe was the checkerboard format. I'm not quite sure how you know, considering you have families or couples or friends going together, why you have to insist on a checkerboard across the stadium where some of these people will be going home in the same vehicles or, you know, sleeping in the same beds. But anyway, if it gets us to 50%, that's a start, because then I'm assuming some of the larger stadia that don't always fill them to capacity might mean that a few
don't travelers bring this will up get in. Because it's a little bit messy. at the moment, because the San Siro, basically, because the seats there are so on top of each other, it's going to be different to, for example, the Juventus Stadium.
I saw that.
Because the Juventus Stadium is a nicely designed stadium. I don't like it, and it's ridiculously expensive, but it's the only stadium in Italy with leg room, to be honest. So, yeah, there's been a bit of controversy about that. But
I saw the bigger seats debate.
Yeah. People who have never been to the stadium wondering why. Because, well, you've never been to the stadium. That's why you don't know why. But not wondering why. Throwing conspiracies around, which we've got enough of that going on anyway for real reasons. So we don't need any that aren't for real reasons anyway. I forgot about someone, and I've just been reminded of them, especially while talking about Salernitana as well. Their rivals in Serie A will be Napoli. And Vito, there's been a lot going on at Napoli over the summer as well. Mostly just Aurelio De Laurentiis fighting with the Lega Serie A, the FIGC, and everyone who will listen to him. But, I mean, they've not changed too much. Spalletti's in there, obviously. What are we expecting?
I reckon they're in my prediction for the Champions League spots. I think Spalletti can really help them improve, especially in terms of consistency. And also, if Victor Osimhen can stay fit, I think he'll be an excellent option up front. So I think he's. I think this year we'll really see Osimhen blossom. Other than that, they have kept most of their squad. They have lost Jonathan Demme for some time because he sustained a preseason injury. So he's going to be a loss, at least as a defensive mid. But apparently, Stanislav Lobotka, the Slovakian international, apparently he's been doing well in the preseason games. So he might finally come good for Napoli, because so far I've been disappointed with him. And otherwise, up front, you'd think, or at least behind Osimhen, you've got Insigne still there, Zielinski, at least at club level, he's been a good player. And on the right wing, they've got Lozano and Politano, so two top options on the right flank. Defence, I think, no, left back is still going to be a problem, otherwise they've got good options. And Scudetto might be a stretch for them, but I think with Spalletti, his tactical nous, his experience, his way of moulding a team, and they're already set for his preferred 4-2-3-1. So I think the Champions League should be a minimum requirement from the Partenope.
Yeah, fewer teething problems with Spalletti than perhaps with the likes of Sarri or Inzaghi, you would imagine, given the setup there, as you mentioned. But I feel like I've heard both of you say Champions League quite a few times. So I'm going to have to ask you now for something that you don't want to do. And I'm gonna hold my hands up and say, I'm not doing this. It's only you two, because I've not given it enough thought. So I'll do it when we do the official article on FIF. But I need you to tell me your predictions. So starting with the oldest out of respect, Kev, could you give me your top four, starting from fourth, working your way to first?
I really was hoping you wouldn't ask us to do it in order. Because...
Okay, well, look, give me four teams, and then you can put them in an order, but...
Okay. Atalanta, Juventus,
Kev, yeah. I did ask you to prepare this. Before
I know, and I kind of have three of them, and then I've questioned myself as
well. Right, well, you've only said two, so Atalanta, Juventus,
Inter, and Lazio.
There you go. Okay, who's winning the Scudetto?
Atalanta.
Yeah, there he goes. Come on. Okay, Vito, over to you. If you could just be a normal human and do what I ask and give me your top four from fourth to first, please.
Oh, fourth to first. Okay, then. Look, I'm going to go with AC Milan for now in fourth. Napoli third. Although I did say Atalanta were the best chance. At the moment, second. I'm playing it very safe, and I'm going to go Juventus for the Scudetto again, only because of that man Allegri, because of him. Again, no, it's a safe option, but...
It's fair enough. It's fair enough. It's an interesting choice. So you're not having Inter or either the Roman clubs in the top four next season?
Well, these are just the predictions for now, but I've noticed when I've picked AC Milan for fourth, they don't come fourth. They don't get a Champions League spot. So, based on, I don't know.
Vito, I think you just want some of the hate that me and Kev get. Now you're trying to get it and all of that.
Oddly, that's why I've chosen Atalanta as champion.
I was going to say, you've left Milan out your top four, haven't you?
No, I had them for fourth. No, I have Vito.
But I do. It really depends on what Inter look like at the start of the season, because then they might drop out. I think that's the thing for me. I just don't know what they look like on paper. They're starting 11.
No one's putting Roma in the top four, boys. It's Mourinho.
No, not a chance. Not this year.
Jose Mourinho.
Not this season, mate.
Mourinho.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Round
care.
Fifth or sixth for me, but again,
Jose.
You're saying the same things that Daniel Levy was saying to the Tottenham board when he was going to get him in. He's going, Jose, lads, we're going to win the league. Jose. No, Daniel, we don't want to give this bloke $5 million a year. It's Jose. Come on, yeah, you've gone, Daniel Levy.
Well, Spurs are still paying him.
So I'm not surprised.
I can't remember, but when it was announced, I think Spurs are paying him for like the first two seasons. So,
which is why he'll enjoy his home.
Spurs are picking it up.
Yeah, so he'll enjoy his holiday in Rome for a couple of years until he has to pull his finger out because he's getting paid twice.
And then I go back to Chelsea for a third stint and fight with the whole new team. Okay, interesting. Can I have your relegated teams, please, Vito? And I'm going to put a caveat in this. You're not allowed to just name all three of the newly promoted teams.
No, I'm not going to name all three.
Okay.
But I will name two of them, so that will be...
I knew it.
On paper, they don't look too impressive yet. So I do have Salernitana and Venezia there. And my other choice is surprisingly not Genoa. That's what I hope for, but... I don't think it's going to be them. So, and it's not Udinese either. It's actually Hellas Verona. Hellas Verona. Look who they've got as coach.
Oh, you're holding grudges.
I think he's just had such a rapid decline as a coach with Sergio Di Francesco. I got a bad feeling he's going to bring Verona down.
Lost their goalkeeper too.
Yeah. Yeah, Silvestri to Udinese, so...
Lovato to Atalanta, too.
Yeah.
Might be a shout, Vito. It's a bold one. Top half last season.
Yeah, I know. But I think it also speaks volumes of how good Juric is becoming as a coach now, as well as how bad Di Francesco has become.
Ah, I feel bad for EDF, you know?
I do, but... Results,
your bottom three. I'm guessing you've gone for Venezia and Salernitana and one more.
Yeah, so I had almost exactly the same as Vito.
Okay.
Although I've got, because of the losses in the playing squad at Verona, I've kind of got it Verona stroke Spezia. So maybe I should just choose Spezia at this point. Just thinking that they looked to be comfortable last year and then they really did sort of, you know, perilously close to getting dragged into that final dogfight. And I do think Empoli will stay up, like Vito was, you know, saying they had a chance to earlier. So, I won't match Vito's bottom three. I'll just switch Verona for Spezia.
Of course, Vincenzo Italiano has left. He's now at Fiorentina as well.
Another factor in Spezia's potential demise.
They've got Victor Kovalenko from Atalanta, which I was surprised to see. He played about 3 minutes for Atalanta last season. And Ebrahim Akolli's gone there on loan as well, also from Atalanta. So that's, they're two quite exciting attacking players. I'm not sure they'll get goals, but they'll create anyway, you would think. But yeah, I'm not so sold on Spezia this season either, unfortunately, because I do quite like having them around and about Serie A. But okay, there it is. And then do either of you have any random predictions that you would like to make for the season? Kev, you look like you've got one.
No, it was more along the lines of my one to watch that you told me to.
Okay, yeah, that I forgot what I called it to you. So yeah, your one to watch,
which is Marko Arnautovic signing for Bologna. So I highly expect him to have a touchline bust up with Sinisa Mihailovic, even though they would have had some relationship at Inter at one stage.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Arnautovic thing. I think it's a blessing that the tunnel at the Dallara isn't beside the dugouts, because I can see him getting taken off and just walking straight to that in a strop. But why did Bologna fans celebrate his signing?
They
were partying in the streets. It was like Italy had just won the Euros again. Kev, they had flares. They were singing in the streets of Bologna. It's Marko Arnautovic. I think that, like, it wasn't Ibra. It's not Messi. It's Marko Arnautovic, who's been playing where?
It's not Barca, China. It's not Milan, it's Bologna. And also, people have been locked down for a long time, Connor. Give them some enjoyment.
We've not been locked down in Italy for ages, but we've been celebrating in the streets every night this summer here. What, they didn't need to celebrate that? I thought it was madness.
I don't know. I think it would be nice to see him back in Serie A.
No,
give
why?
Us some mad moments.
I just think he's a knobhead, isn't he? He is, isn't he? Don't look at me like that. He is.
Yeah,
he absolutely is. But anyway, Vito, did you have a one to watch?
Without thinking of which club he's even going to play for this season, let's just say, you know, as we are recording, he's Atalanta owned or from the Atalanta Youth Academy. And we've not talked about him, but he's been written about in previous FIF articles. Alessandro Cortinovis is the attacking midfielder from the Primavera of Atalanta. Let's just assume that as we are recording, he's gone to LS Verona. But regardless of where he plays, I think he's one of those few gems in the Primavera system. I think the guy, he'll bring a bit of X factor. And another young gem, especially with Nicolo Zaniolo at Roma having those injuries. Cortinovis is probably a little bit similar to Zaniolo, maybe a bit more faster or more explosive. But I think if there's an Italian youngster to emerge, I think he's someone worth keeping an eye out for.
Oh, he's a gorgeous player. He is a gorgeous player. I'm very, very excited to see him in Serie A. Yes, Kev, if you want to do top goal scorer, we can do top goal scorer. I can't remember if I asked you for it earlier. Who's going to be the capocannoniere this season?
No, you did. You know, mine's relatively boring, but you did ask.
Don't say Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, Ciro Immobile, just because of what I said earlier. I think the goals, he might get under Sarri's style of football.
Okay, fair enough. Vito?
Yeah, again, I'm going with Immobile as well. So pretty much for the same reasons as Kev. Nothing more to add.
Do you know what? I like that, though, because it got under my skin this summer, seeing all of the people supporting Italy getting on his back as if he's not a brilliant centre forward. Ciro, I hope he comes back to Serie A and absolutely pumps 40 goals this season under Sarri and breaks all of the records. And why not? Wins Lazio the Cup or something as well. Why not? To finish, we've got to talk about kits, because I've got to be honest, I've been disappointed with most of the kits that have been released in Serie A this year, with the exception of Venezia's and Inter's white kit. I can't think of too many others that I'm actually that sold on. So, but forgive me if I'm forgetting some. Parma have good ones, but they're in Serie B, importantly. Other than that, I'm not quite convinced that there's too many good ones going around. Kev, I'd imagine you've been crunching the numbers on this, and you've probably got a spreadsheet ready to go. You can probably tell us what the trim on every kit looks like and the whole lot. What have you got for us?
Well, yeah, my spreadsheet's not quite ready because some clubs haven't released all of their kits.
Okay.
I think Inter deserve a special mention for arguably having the worst kit with that snakeskin monstrosity.
Right.
And
so
possibly the best in the away kit.
Although okay, I so really, you're with me really, that the away kit's better than the home kit, yeah?
Yes, but I really, really do not like the away kit with the sponsor. I saw it come without the sponsor and I thought, oh, that's so much nicer without the sponsor.
Mm.
Or maybe I'm just missing Pirelli.
No, the sponsor does look ugly on it. It absolutely does.
I got quite irate at Fiorentina's four kits, which isn't unusual for them. But I don't think it's the number of kits, because I know obviously the goalkeeper,
they're all the same,
does wear some of them. That's the thing that annoys me. It's like, oh, we created this template, guys. Now you pick four colours and we'll make them for you. And then they've gone for like purple plus the three other colours that were first on the colour palette of like paint, Microsoft Paint. I think that's it. And they've gone, yeah, we'll have those. We'll have those ones. That's fine. I know. I think there's some, there's a link, isn't there, to the...
No, but have you seen that the Fiorentina fans are annoyed about this? Because of they've changed the badge back to an old badge, and the Fiorentina fans obviously know more about Fiorentina than their owners do, and they're fuming because of what they associate that badge with and the older regimes and the sale of Baggio and stuff like this. So, yeah, this is my random prediction for this year is it's the fall of Comiso. He's going to end up just pissing everyone in Florence off, finally, and he'll be driven out of the club.
Yeah,
I wouldn't rule it out.
Continue with your kits.
Yeah, I think some good ones. You've got Cagliari have got a really nice colour on their third shirt.
I've not seen theirs. Theirs was like a disaster last season, their kit.
It's a sky blue one, yeah. I haven't seen their home. Maybe their home is a disaster again because they only seem to have released their third kit, but it is a lovely sky blue. Quite like the Torino away because I do quite like the Peruvian style sash.
But they've put the sponsor in the sash, which is so clever. If you have to put a sponsor on it, don't destroy
the design of the kit. Don't break
exactly. Exactly. Remember Chelsea did one a few years ago with the blue sash and they just wrote Samsung or whatever it was across it and it ruined an otherwise glorious kit. So well done to Suzuki and Torino on that one.
Yeah, Lazio's white away is quite nice. It's got a really nice like dark blue sort of shoulder line. Sassuolo are really good on their home and away.
No, Sassuolo smashed it. That's the other team. It's Sassuolo and Venezia that I'm impressed with. Their home kit, bangs. Their away kit, bangs. Their third kit, bangs. Sassuolo, team of the year already, just because they're the best dressed. Glorious work.
Venezia's kits go into the bad category.
What are you talking about? What are you talking
about?
Get off the podcast, will you?
They're just
a little too busy. Get off the podcast, clown.
What are you talking about?
The opposite of busy.
No, all the triangles and all the stars and all this. It's just too much for me. I like Samp's kit's quite nice, but I've only seen that about sponsors. There's a lot of Italian shirts in Serie A this year that the designs I've seen are all sort of sponsorless. So they look nice and clean and sleek, and then suddenly they go and slap about 15 sponsors on them or put them in strange positions. Samp's got a nice sash on an away shirt. Samp's got kind of the...
Put them in strange positions.
Oh, you know, one
There's
on
the
your shoulder.
Sponsor, the
one on your,
sponsor
one on your shoulder.
Oh, Atalanta are bad for the chest sponsor, actually, aren't they? Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, no, but Samp have got a sash as well. Their traditional sash, their hoop.
Usually they've got the hoops, yeah.
So what? They've got the sash on the home kit?
No, away.
Yeah, they did that a few years ago as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I quite like that because it's got this kind of broken. Yeah. Verona, and then the two, yeah, last two from me, which are bad ones, which is the Juve third that just looks horrific. And
what colour is it?
It's the...
No, you're God. I didn't mean that.
God, why can't I think now what it was?
I don't think I've seen it, to be honest with you.
The black ones, the away one. It's the...
What, they've got a black away kit?
Yeah.
What? No, they've not.
This is getting cut.
No, it's not. If you don't, you know, you don't listen to this podcast back. No. It is not getting good out.
Juventus away is definitely.
What, they've got black away kit?
It's got they like wear a black away. Fleece. Yeah, well, yeah, it's got like kind of pinstripes.
Right.
The Juventus third, the one that's the monstrosity, is that thing that's like Inter's kit they wore once last year, where it's got like a blue shoulder, a yellow line. I thought over the summer, I thought I saw Vito comment on it, actually. It looks horrific. So that's the Juve. And then Verona's home has got far too much yellow in it.
Is it that Boca Juniors looking thing?
Yes, very much so, Vito. It's like the Boca Juniors, whatever they called that there. That was like a mashup of 10 years of Boca kits, wasn't it? But this is actually something designed to be their third kit, which is just a Frankenstein's monster.
Is that real?
Yes, that's real. It's not a training shirt. It does. It looks like a shitty training.
But you know the way there's a joke that Inter just keep copying Juve. Like, I mean, they got Conte, they got the Juve women's manager as well, Rita Guarino. But Juve are copying. That is vile if that's real.
It is 100% real.
And I don't believe that. I'm not going to believe that until I see it.
A copy of Inter's shirt last year.
But they have different manufacturers. Inter are Nike and Juve are Adidas.
Yeah, they've chosen the colour scheme and the randomness of shapes and and whatever on the shirt.
That is disgusting. And I love yellow and blue kits. Why have they put white on it?
Who knows? Why have they put black on their away kit?
But even if they put black instead of white on this one, it would look a lot better. That's gross. Juve have had stinkers for the last, like, probably, 5 years consistently. Since the year, the last good kit Juve had was, I think it was their first season with Adidas, when they had the little buttons and they had the changed crest. And it was nice. Since then, they've all been stinkers. Bad. Anyway. Finished.
I don't know if you were waiting for either of us to not agree with you, because we all agree they've had some awful shirts.
What do you make of Atalanta's kits? Because I'm bitterly disappointed with them.
See, I think you're disappointed because the others have been so good. But I found them not bad enough to criticise, but not good enough to praise.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're just nothing. The third one is rotten. It's a rotten kit. That red one.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. That's it's a horrible red as well.
Yeah, it's gross. But the bad thing is, they've just done the... who are we talking about? The Fiorentina thing. All of the kits are the same template. So they've all just got the same ugly collar as well. It's not even a nice collar. It's an ugly collar. The away kit itself isn't bad, but it's just because it's that lazy template. I don't like it, and it looks too busy with the sponsors. The home kit's probably not actually too bad at all, but I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest with you. Anyway, anything else to say?
No, can't wait. Let's hope I get to Italy this year to watch some football.
Let's hope so too, to see me. Look, we're still in pre-season.
Because I owe you dinner.
You owe me two dinners. Don't you forget. Don't you forget. We're still in pre-season, so there's no game this week. We'll be back with a game next week once the competitive football is up and running. Good to speak to you all. We've been trying to blow off some cobwebs. Definitely a bit of rustiness. Apologies for that. But we'll be back next week. I'm away on holidays for now. And we'll speak to you soon. Kev, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. See you soon.
Vito, say ciao.
Ciao.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll speak to you soon. Campionato di calcio italiano.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.